If you got your Bibles, turn with me today to the book of Ephesians. That's in the New Testament for you people who have never been here. Ephesians chapter 5. My most favorite book in the New Testament is the book of Ephesians. And my most favorite book in the Old Testament is the book of Genesis. I just love this. And I asked the Lord what I would be doing during my day sessions here at the Southwest Believers Convention, and the Lord gave me this. Many of you know I travel quite extensively all over the world preaching the gospel. I've had many people say that I'm probably the busiest preacher in the United States. I'm constantly going somewhere almost every day. I'm wearing out jets and just wearing them out. I mean, I fly more than most commercial airline people fly and all that kind of stuff. Bought almost about $600,000-$700,000 just in jet fuel last year. And that's wholesale. Isn't it nice? I don't have to pay retail. I serve a Jewish God. You do what you got to do. Praise the Lord. And if you put retail, you're looking at about $1.2 million just traveling, just in jet fuel, going all over the world. And God's been so good and gracious. So I see a lot of things that a lot of people don't see. I preach in a lot of churches, conventions such as this, as well as business ventures that a lot of major corporations ask me at times to come speak to their staffs and things of that nature. So I really believe I have my hand on the pulse of what's happening out there. And I wanted to minister on this wise, and the Lord began to deal with me about it. And I want to read the scripture, Ephesians chapter 5. I'm reading out of the King James Version. I want to start first with verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time. I want you to underline that. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now that was wrote over 2,000 years ago. And the Apostle Paul told the church at Ephesus that the days were evil. Think about how much more evil they are today. There's no such thing anymore as sin. People laugh at that, even Christians. Just think about that. And I want to deal in my day session. I'll do something different on the night that I preach. But in this area of my day sessions, I want to preach on time, our most precious commodity. Time, our most precious commodity. We have such revelation coming down the pike, like they say. Brother Copeland's been preaching on the blessing now for a couple of 2 or 3 years. The wonderfulness of the Word of God. God is speeding up the time. I asked the Lord one time, I said, why am I so busy? You know, I don't mind taking a break. I don't mind going home. I would like to try lazy once in my life. I've never done that, but I'd like to try it anyway. And the Lord said, the time frame. And I said, well, why am I doing all this? There's so many people want meetings and they want to preach, but they're not willing to do whatever it takes to get it done. They'll go if the money's right. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Think about that for a minute. I heard that from Brother Hagin. I love that statement. I've never forgot that. Think about that. But just the time frame and what it takes to get the gospel out, to preach the gospel. And I want to deal with this morning on the pricelessness of time. Time, our most precious commodity, because time does not wait for anyone. I looked at myself this morning and I tell you what, I used to be young. My hair used to be brown. I used to be skinny. I like being fat. You can eat what you want. That's a blessing of God. No, but I'm back on a diet. See, I did this because I had to do a movie. Boy, y'all don't believe nothing around here, do you? And as soon as they show me the part, I'll do the movie. Okay, it was a bad joke, but all right, best friend. I want to deal with the pricelessness of time, and I want to start with this point. Let me say, redeeming the time because the days are evil. People are always asking me, and I'm surprised at how many ministers ask me if sin's okay. You got to be kidding. I'm telling you. I thought, you got to be kidding me. You know, I had one man say, I don't know why everybody worries about if a man messes with another woman. Because, you know, everybody needs a spare tie. Yeah. I've had that told me. Of course, I rebuked him in the name of Jesus. And if the Lord would have let me, I'd have made him an offer that he couldn't refuse. but I couldn't do that. But you'd be surprised that someone would actually say that. I think one time I was at a TBN thing, and Keith and Phyllis, they remember that person, that guy that asked me that question about, is it okay to be, you don't have to be married, you just live together. Remember that? And I thought, you got to be kidding me. But it's amazing. Now, this is coming from the Christian circles. This is not coming from heathens. I can understand heathens not saying that, but not Christian circles. For the days are evil. Now, write this down if you're taking notes. Great opportunity must be prepared for, not simply waited for. See, a lot of people are waiting for an opportunity. What I do is prepare for opportunities. I prepare. Kathy says, I'm a man with plan A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. I mean, I will do 7 or 8 plans because I realize that God never changes, but people do. And you have to learn to work with change, even though God's word doesn't change. Great opportunities must be prepared for, not simply waited for. For example, when I began to receive, when I was believing God for the first airplane, that first thing I did was I started preparing. I went and got a hangar and didn't even have a plane. I started looking for a pilot and didn't have a plane. I was calling those things would be not as though they were, so that I would not be caught short when the time, because when God does something, he's never early, but he's never late, but he's never early neither. But when he does it, boom, it's just there. And you have to be prepared for that. So he told me when I went to preach the gospel, he said, you redeemed the time. I've commanded you to redeem that time. So when people are in my meetings, people say, why do you have altar calls? Because that might be the night that saves you for eternity. Or that might be the day that you meet Jesus Christ for the first time in your life. And you see, because there's too many people talking about the life of Christ when they ought to be talking about the Spirit of Christ. Amen. We know a lot about the life of Christ. Man, but you know, we need to know more about the Spirit of Christ. Because if you know more about the Spirit of Christ, then you will live the life of Christ. You see, but yet we all know about the life of Christ. They teach us that all the time in Sunday schools, churches all over. But how many people know about the Spirit of Christ? What is the Spirit of Christ, the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, mercy, grace, temperance. The Bible says, and against such there is no law. Why isn't there no law? Because that's the Spirit of Christ. So when I tell people, when I redeem the time and make them realize that how priceless this moment is, I tell them about the Spirit of Christ instead of telling them about the life of Christ. You know, they want to talk about, you know, the passion of the Christ. Or they want to talk about the resurrection. And those are good. Don't misunderstand me. And how he healed the sick and he raised the dead and cast out devils. That's good. But the greatest thing is, why did he do it? What made his character move in that to manifest in that way? That's the Spirit of Christ. So great opportunities must be prepared for, not just simply waited for. What have you prepared for? Have you prepared your faith to receive? Yeah. Beware of not having a habit of faith. Write that down. That'll help you. A lot of people don't have a habit of faith. They just use faith whenever it becomes convenient. But in other words, you should not have a habit of not using faith. Faith ought to be done every day of your life. So I prepare for things. I prepared for this meeting in prayer, in study, and in saying what I wanted God to do. Because you see, I'm just a part of this meeting. You see what I'm saying? All of us are just a part of this meeting. But this belongs to God in every part. That's why I love Kenneth Cope. He don't care who's preaching as long as they're doing what God says to do. Amen. I've had him tell me that. Do whatever the Lord tells you to do. He's never told me this. Jesse, do whatever you want to do. Because you see, when you walk back there and you talk and you're dealing with spiritual things, and if you say something wrong or that isn't right, somebody might grab that and go out with that and destroy their life. You see what I'm saying? So that's why you must prepare for opportunities instead of just waiting for. I'm just waiting for a good job. You need to get your lazy self up and go look for one. You see what I'm saying? You've got to do something. When you do something, be ye therefore doers of the word, not hearers, only deceiving yourself. No, you can deceive yourself. Well, I'm just going to live by faith. You're going to starve. Faith work it, but you got to work it. It work it, but you do the work on it, see. So I prepare for things. And Kathy said, you always got 5, 6 plans. Yes, because people are all in the plans and people all do different things. You know, some people look at a glass half full, others look at it half empty. But, and both of them are exactly the same, but it's how you look at something. You see, so when I made up my mind, when I go to the Word of God, to study the Word of God, and I have a phenomenal library in my home. I mean, it's phenomenal. I mean, even the rabbis freak out when they come. Woo, Lord, look at this. Look at the stuff this man has. Because I want to know something. I want to be prepared. I know how to talk to a Jehovah's Witness. Because many times they knocked on my door. Hello, I'm a Jehovah Witness. I said, so am I. Come on in here. Oh, yeah. I'm a Jehovah man. So when you said Jehovah, I said, hey, come in here. And I don't let them out till I'm finished. I've had people drive up my house on bicycles and call themselves Mormons. Good, fine. Want to talk? Let's talk. I love to talk. But you got to be prepared to talk. You have to be instant in season. I would say, you got to prepare yourself for the blessing. Because the first thing, if you hadn't prepared yourself for the blessing and God bless you, you go crazy. You're like them people that won the lottery. You broke in 2 years. Millions of dollars just gone out the window because you never prepared yourself on how to honor money. You need to respect money or money will kill you. It's a wonderful thing. People say, the church preaches against money's evil. No, it isn't. That's why the church works for it. Picks up evil every Sunday morning. It's called tithe and offering. If it's evil, why are you picking up money? It's not evil. It's the love of money. And if everybody with common sense ought to know that. But common sense is not very common to some people. You just thought of that person, didn't you? I just came up and you, yeah, boy, let me tell you that. So, great opportunity. Let me stay on that. Must be prepared for. This is the pricelessness of time. Not just simply waited for. So I prepare myself. God, what would you have me to do? I know what he wants me to do. I know when he wants me to do it, how he wants me to do it, and where he wants me to do it. Now I have to implement it. Jesus had 30 years of implementation. Well, I said, 30 years of preparation and 3 years of implementation. He was preparing himself for the ministry. Now, if the Son of God has to prepare himself, I think we need to prepare ourselves. Don't you think? So what are we doing today? Is your time priceless? Because you have to redeem it. Because we're going to stand before God, each and every one of us, one day. And he's going to say, why didn't you do this? It messed up, Lord, because you didn't prepare for it. Well, maybe I didn't have enough faith. That had nothing to do with your faith. Your faith worketh. You just didn't work it. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
For the days are evil. So when I see evil, I always think that good overcomes evil. That's why people love those superhero movies. Because, you know, the superhero might get beat up and punched a little bit, but he comes out winning. Someone gave me a movie the other day called Iron Man. Anybody ever saw that thing? Man, I felt like a kid. I wanted to put a towel on my neck and jump off my house. But I did not do. I did that once as a kid. I learned quickly. Men don't fly. And I saw that and I began to wonder about things. And you got to understand the undertones of what's happening. See, because everyone that has a message has an undertone to it. I don't care if it's a movie. I don't care if it's a speech. What are you saying? What is the real reason for it? And if you prepared for that, then you can honor that. The other day, I had a very phenomenal man come to my home to eat dinner. I eat lunch with me. I couldn't believe it. The ambassador of Israel to the United Nations came to my house. He didn't go see the governor. He came see Jesse. I don't mean that private. I thought, oh, what you want? And we sat down, had dinner. And we talked about Israel. And then the proconsul general of Israel ate lunch at my house. Wanted to talk about what do I feel about Israel and will I stand for Israel? I said, well, sure. Why? Because, you know, God said, bless Israel. God bless you. So I don't believe that. That don't change it. I've had many atheists said, I don't believe in God. I said, you believe in God more than I do. No, I don't. You talk more about God than I do. And I'm a preacher.
Come on.
You always tell us about he doesn't exist. If he doesn't exist, shut your mouth. Go to hell. That's not cussing. That's a destination. Does that make sense to anybody? I mean, if he doesn't exist, you wasted air, right?
Amen.
Atheists talk more about God than we do. That Bill Maher guy, he's always talking about the God area. He don't have nothing unless he talks about God. He said he don't exist. Well, how come you run your whole show and your whole thing on it? What they don't even realize is God is drawing them and they can't even see it. So you have to prepare yourself to talk to an atheist. You have to prepare yourself to minister life to a sinner. You see what I'm saying? I love to preach to Muslims. And this is what they love about us. We preach all over the Middle East in 14 different languages. Actually, the whole world in 14 different languages. But 5 different languages in the Middle East. Persian, Farsi, Arabic, English, and Hebrew. Now, I tell you what they love about me more than anything else, an American preacher now, is my fellowship and relationship with God. And they call us and they say, I want to talk to God like you talk to God. How come I can't talk to God like you talk to God? I said, you're talking to the wrong God. Now, got to be wise. Serpent, homily as a dove. I don't try to make Muhammad smaller by making Jesus bigger. Jesus big enough by himself. I just let my light so shine. See, that's redeeming the time. God opened up an avenue for me to speak to a man who's probably more religious than most Christians. Probably never misses Wednesday night church. How would you like to go to a church with no pews? That's what the Muslims do. They ain't got a chair in the place. Just lay on the floor. Kneel down. You do that in a Christian church? You wouldn't have no chairs and pews? You wouldn't have no church next week. They expect me to stand up all week long? Kneel down all this time? Don't shout me down. Listen to me. There's some things we can learn that are good from other religions. So I realized that every person born on this earth is a great opportunity. And Jesus said, go to the world, preach the gospel to how many creatures?
All.
Yeah. Pretty simple, isn't it? That's why I work so much, I guess. All creatures. That's for each and every one of us that are born again, not just an evangelist or an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, pastor, a teacher. That's for everybody to let your light shine. Write this down. Opportunities does not come loudly. Opportunities does not come loudly, but it often comes suddenly, taking you unawares. Opportunities does not come loudly, but it often comes suddenly, and you could say stealthily if you want, taking you unawares. I have to be instant in season and out of season in my financial life, in my social life, in my public life, in my church life, in every area of my life. I have to be ready. Constant like that. Constant. And I mean, I'm just constantly thinking. Especially when you do host, when you host television. Because sometimes you get some people that they can just talk the ears off of an elephant until the red light come on the camera. One time, I tell you what, it was so funny. I was on TBN hosting. How many of y'all seen me on TBN hosting before? I love the host. People like me. They say they like me to host because I like my guests to talk. I've been a host where I couldn't say nothing because the two guys between me were just doing this. And this one guy said, boy, I'm ready, bro, Jesse. I got things to say. I said, I can tell, man. I said, you got it, man. I'm going to throw it to you. Throw it to him. I said, well, brother, what's Jesus doing in your life? He said, a lot. I said, I'm dying here. I'm dying. I know that's a negative confession. That's it. I'm waiting. He's free. He froze. And you can see people when they freeze. Watch my eyes. They do this. Which means they're trying to look at everything going on in the studio. No, fool, look at the camera. I said, what does a lot mean? A lot. I had 15 minutes with this boy. But I was prepared. I was prepared. So I started telling everybody what God told me to do, and he agreed with me. Because I couldn't get him to say a word. Finally, maybe 2 minutes before, I guess he got comfortable and he turned loose. Now he wanted to say 15 minutes and 2 minutes. He said, I want to tell you something, that God's word, so throw you. I said, everybody close your eyes. He's praying in tongues right now. Let's just, you know, I made it funny, but I tell you, sweat was running down the back of my legs. And then I got a card from the person behind the camera and said this, cut the fool off. You'd be surprised what's going on behind them cameras. Cut the food. I went, I wanted to laugh. That's not easy sometimes. Then one time I had a guest that said, you know, Paul had a thorn in his flesh. I said, yeah. The Bible said it was a thorn. I said, do you know what it was? He said, it might have been homosexuality. Am I right, Kathy? Y'all see that? I went, no, whoa, wait, whoa, whoa, wait. Oh, I mean, everybody went, whoa! And I could see a homosexual. I'd say anything bad and I'll just whip you with my stick. I had to fix that. That was not an easy thing. That was a Hollywood star that did that. So I prepare myself. Usually if I go to do a show, I open up that session before that camera comes on. I start talking to them people because I want to find out where the idiot is. or what the devil is, because he's going to manifest.
Amen.
Opportunity does not come loudly, but it often comes suddenly, taking you unawares. I don't like to be caught unaware. I don't like to be caught unaware when the Lord asks me something. I don't want to be caught unaware concerning my faith. I don't want to be caught unaware concerning my giving. I don't want to be caught unaware concerning the safety of my life. People have criticized me royally for having airplanes. Well, I've been down in 3 airplane crashes, so I bought my own plane. I know it works. And I told my pilots, if this baby go down, remember you in the front, you get killed before I do. And Jesse run into the back where the blue water in the toilet is. I'm going to close the door and just Christ come. Hope to God when I open it up that there's nothing left. And I may look stained blue, but I'm gonna be alive. But I ain't believing for that. But I'm just saying. So those boys are very, very, when they go, and I also want what they did when they got type rated. I want to know when they go get recurrent. I call those people. I say, I want to know how my boys did. What happened here? Because you see, things happen unaware on airplanes. In fact, I think me and Phyllis, same thing happened to me. We lost pressure. I want to tell you something. When you lose pressure in a plane at 40,000 feet, it sounds like it's, and then the cloud come in the plane. Because you see, it's like, 50 below zero outside, and you're like 70 degrees inside. The cloud comes in, and then you breathe like it's, because there's nothing to breathe. Am I telling the truth? You know what I'm talking. That happened to her. It happened to me too. I felt like a dog. I was panting. Of course, now my pilots, they got on a mask. I got a piece of junk mask. One of them commercialized masks. Baptist speaking tongues. Catholics pay tithe. And Jews call Jesus the Son of God, but when that happens, that's an amazing, and it ain't fun. It's funny now, but it ain't funny when it's happening. But you know what? If I listen to my pilots, we're prepared for that. Brother Jesse, in the event we have something of this nature, they tell me what to do. How many of you actually listen to what the people say when you're flying on a plane? Look how many people. 100. Most people sit down there and listen. Thank you, Glory. Glory listens real good. Pray. I've been on that plane with Glory. Nothing's ever happened with us. That's blessing of the Lord. Because one thing Brother Colton does, y'all say, he walk around that plane. He cut a trench around that plane. He just keep walking. He want to make sure he look over there. Let me look at that. Why? Because things can happen unawares. It's not fear. It's just wisdom. See, it's called redeeming the time. Every time we get on an airplane, we say, Lord, we thank you and plead the blood of Jesus over this aircraft. They will come right back to New Orleans and praise you and call your name glorious. Wow, we put that protective shield out there. See, so opportunities does not come loudly, but they often come suddenly and stealthily, taking you unaware. So I refuse to be caught unaware in every area of my life. That's the priceless of time. I hate wasted time. What could I have done? There's sometimes I was sitting on a couch and I just jump up and Kathy goes, what? I said, am I supposed to be somewhere tonight? Because I'm so used to going everywhere. I jump and God, no, you're off. Praise the Lord. Then I sit down, but I'm still thinking, you know. I want to make sure, Jesse, why don't you just let your brain rest? No. Why? Because while I'm resting, Satan's planning something. I believe in resting in the Lord. Don't misunderstand me. But you got to know your enemy. Years ago, they don't do this now. They just shoot you now. Years ago, you would have a fight in school. I'll meet you behind the school at 3 o'clock. Right? Remember that? They don't do that now. They just pull a gun out and they whack you, you know, just pop you. But in those days, and if I saw a guy wanted to fight me, and if he was big, I got a plan. A baseball bat. Something that called an equalizer. And I'd look at him and say, I come to win.
Right.
Yeah, but you're not supposed to have a bat. Well, you shouldn't be that big. So if you'll shrink a little bit, I'll get rid of this bat. Now we laugh about that. I was serious about that. Why? I just want to go home and just got whipped and beat to pieces. What I'm saying is opportunities you have to be prepared for. That's the pricelessness of time. Now watch this. Write this down. The real difference between people is not in their chances, but in their ability to recognize their chances. The real difference between people is not in their chances, but in their ability to recognize their chances. Do you recognize your chances? Do you see it? Because I want to tell you something. God is no respecter person. What he's given Harry, he'll give to Fred. But can Fred recognize it? You see?
Yeah.
Can you recognize when any one of these speakers are preaching the gospel, what nugget of truth manifested in your life? Because you see, God told everyone to say it. Now, I wasn't here when Brother Moore was preaching because I was flying in from New Orleans. But I know he said, because I know God, I know you said something, Keith, that manifested somebody. And I said to you, did you recognize that? Did you actually recognize it? Or did you come to judge it? So many people spend their time in church judging what a preacher says that they miss what he says. Or how he says it. It has nothing to do with how he says it. It's what he said. And God gave that to that person so that you might manifest his glory. Let me say it again. The real difference between people is not in their chances, but in their ability to recognize their chances. So I'm constantly asking God, Lord, let me not miss anything. I have a friend of mine, her son now is about, I guess, 12 years old. But when he was a baby, I would watch that baby. He would never blink. You know, people blink, their eyes blink. But this baby, his name was Max. Max would never blink. Finally, I asked his mama, I said, why doesn't he blink? She said, he don't want to miss nothing. I literally watched that baby for 5 minutes. He never blinked his eyes once. I knew his eyes must have been getting dry or something. But she was right. He don't miss nothing at all till today. At 12 years old. He said, he don't want to miss nothing. You see, when you realize that you can recognize something, or if you don't recognize it, and there's been sometimes someone got your blessing because you wouldn't recognize it. And God's not going to let that blessing just rot on the floor. God is very frugal in everything he does. There's some people didn't get healed because the person next to them got their healing. Why? Because the person next to them was believing for God to heal them. And the person that needed to be healing was saying, oh, I hope so. They didn't recognize that the healer was there. They were seeking a healing instead of seeking the healer. But the person next to him was saying, oh, Jesus, just thank you for healing my body. I said something years ago that your spirit can write a check that your soul can't cash. You see, a lot of people walk around with deformed souls. Their soul has not been renewed. It's deformed. Their spirit's right, but they conform instead of transformed. What that means is transfigured. You know that word transformed there in Rome? It means transfigured, like when Jesus was transfigured. That's how your soul should be. That's where you live. 99% of your life is in your soulless realm. Yet you ought to be living out of your spirit through your soul to a crucified body. That's the pricelessness of time. So every time people say, how do you study? Or when do you study? I grab every kind, any constantly. I may get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, went to bed at 1. Oop, got up. My mind just went to research something, went back to bed. Lord. Because I know when God's speaking to me that if I don't get up, write it down, my soul will forget it. So I have to transform it to make it understand what is in my spirit. Because see, God gave me that for such a time as this. For such a time as this. This time. And that's a wonderful thing. That's called redeeming the time. There's been many times I've done some things that I never really wanted to do. People thought I just did them, try to make it funny. No, I'm going to tell you something you may not believe. I'm really not a funny man. God is my witness. I mean, people that know me, they said, now when I walk behind this pulpit, something happens. And you know, there's so many sad people in church. I've never been able to understand how many bound people were when the Bible said, whom the Son is free indeed. Amen. And I'm waiting for the Lord to deliver me. What? When the Lord takes these cigarettes away from me, he don't smoke. What if he can just take this drug? He don't take drugs. He delivered you the day you got born again. See, your soul is deformed. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. You have not transformed it by understanding what the word said. You see what I'm saying? Learning, let me tell you, one of the greatest things you can tell yourself is no. Now, your body ain't going to like it. Your soul's not going to like it. Your spirit's going to love it. Because it receives its dictates from God himself. See, there's no duplex in your heart. If God would have wanted to live with the devil, he would have never kicked him out of heaven. So why does he want to live with the devil inside of you? Does that make any sense to anybody? He says the pricelessness of time. So every day, every second, every minute, every hour, every year is a good time. Why? They call it above ground is good. Because God placed you here. Now, many people don't know why God caused you to be birthed. Why are you on this planet? Why are you at this convention? Have you come because you're dedicated, or have you come to bargain with God? If you do this, then I'll do this. You sound like Jacob. God, if you bless me, give me a lot of money and bring me home, I'll give you a tenth of all I have. That's a very bad deal. You want God to supply everything, and you're going to give him a tenth. Don't shout me down. Listen to me. See, that's bargaining. You ever know something about Jesus? He never bargained with the Father. He was dedicated to the Father. See, loyalty has no limits. I preached that yesterday. A piece of that just came out of me. Yeah, I don't bargain with God. God, if you do this, this is what I'm going to do. That's bargaining. No, I dedicated myself to the Lord. If God don't do nothing, it don't make no difference. I'm still going to live, love him. If he never blesses me, but he has to bless me. Because he says, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that goes out of my lips. Think about that for a minute. Oh, Lord Jesus. So I just do it because I love him. I got saved not so he could bless me with money. I made a lot of money in my life, especially as a young man before I was saved. So money did not make me happy. It just makes you comfortable while you're miserable. That's exactly the truth. I've seen a lot of people with money just commit suicide. They're comfortable, comfortably dead. It doesn't bring you happiness. A Louis Vuitton purse will make you shout just for a little while. Then somebody will say, I bet you it's a knockoff. Which is an insult to you. You mean a knockoff? We saw the policeman run around the corner when he sold it to you. No. It may make you happy, but it won't bring the comfort that you need in life. You follow what I'm saying? So when you see this here, the pricelessness of time, it's priceless. And it never waits for anyone. Think about that. So what will you do today? What will you do after this service? What has God preordained you to do? Why do you think God has been given great revelations like the blessing, the anointed one and his anointing through Brother Colton over the years, the different things that happen? Why? Speeding up the time. If this is not the days of Noah, I don't know what is. The Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man cometh. You know, most people are not thinking about Jesus coming. They think that's a joke. They think that's stupid. One of our own presidents said that the book of Revelations was wrote by a maniac. You know who said that? Thomas Jefferson. He didn't believe in the resurrection or the virgin birth. Now, he believed in the Bible, but he cut certain parts out. But see, the natural man received it, not the things of God. I had a man tell me that the other day. Well, tell me something about God. I said, you're not going to understand it. Oh, you think I'm ignorant? No. You're not ignorant at all. You're just natural. What do you mean natural? Natural man receiving not the things of God. I said, I'll tell you something spiritual. It'll fall flat. Yeah. You'll call it a lie. You can't receive that. I said, because your time is not yet. Now, it can be. If you're willing to listen, let the Lord pierce through that hard shell you got, then the Lord began to work on me with the gift of the Spirit. A lot of times the gifts of the Spirit operate in my life, even in restaurants and stuff. If I'm sitting there, somebody says, oh, and I can tell when that Holy Spirit says, okay, let's pierce his armor. And I tell you what, one time I'll never forget that, I was sitting in this waiter was kind of a little irritated. I don't know, maybe he's having a bad day. Oh, you that white-headed preacher on television. I said, well, yeah, I guess so. A lot of white-headed preachers, I think. He said, you know, you're funny, but I don't believe anything you say. I said, you hadn't got your tip yet. I said, you know, maybe the Lord sent me today to be a blessing to you. And you about ready to blow it. He said, I really like your preaching. That was the first lie. Well, I just think you ought to be a blessing to somebody if they serve you right. You know? I don't have a problem with that. So he came back 2 or 3 times. And the Lord said, let's pierce his armor. I said, so you don't believe much in God? No. I said, was it because of the incident in the pickup truck when you was 12 years old? He go. I said to the Lord inside, it's working. It's working. I said, you got to reveal some more. I'm out right now. That's all I know. How did you know that? I said, I didn't, but the Lord did. Now he starts crying at my table. Manager comes over and think there's something wrong with the food. I said, the Lord just pierced his armor. And the man just looked at me and says, excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt. The manager just backed away. See, I was redeeming the time. And before you know it, just that crack in that armor was enough to get Christ in there. Just enough to get Christ in there. He said, I just never thought I'd. And he couldn't hardly talk. I said, I understand. I said, just let Christ come in easily. And I gave him a monster tip. I said, your first day of salvation, you got blessed. Have a nice day. The pricelessness of time. Now, am I bragging to myself if I wasn't ready? Yeah. If I was a little irritated, and he said something like that to me, I said, what? What? I'll never forget, Kathy was with me one time. This is before we had our plane. No, we didn't have our plane then. Way back, we were flying to South Africa. And we were sitting in first class. South Africa is way down under, like Australia. And this guy walked, remember that? He walked down the aisle. He looks, he stops me. I don't know this man from Adam. Boy, I guess you used them tide to buy that seat, didn't you? I wasn't ready for that. I'm not going to lie. I was not, and neither was Kathy. And I saw Kathy like a tiger. So I backed up to let her sin. I'm going to let Kathy do some sin in here. See, because a woman can cut you before you know you cut. She said, what did he say? I can't believe he said. And it began to boil in me. And I thought, I've had enough of this. I ain't never taken a dime from God. I don't steal God's money. The tithe is his. I don't do that. I'm going to give this boy a piece of my mind, a piece of my arm. If I go to jail, Kathy can bail me out. I'll just tell the judge I slapped the man. I got up and Kathy, she growling. But her claws hit me. She said, don't do what you're thinking. Don't do that. I said, look at yourself. Your fur is as high as it can be right now. What are you growling at me for? Kathy's like the movies. What's your name and who's your employee? What's your boss name? She'll take your name down. Call your boss. Good God. I sat there and sat there. I wasn't prepared. So I just bowed my head and began to pray prayers I did not want to pray. Jesus, forgive me for wanting to kill this man. Because the Bible says if you just have that in your mind, your thoughts, and you know, in your heart, you know, it's just like as if you did it. So since I got it in my heart, I just might as well do it. No, I can't do it. Yeah, I'm thinking of every kind of way I can get to this boy. Because before I was saved, you didn't, not where I was raised. You do what you're going to do. You live in New Orleans? With the Sicilians? That's why they got the Mississippi River over there. Where's Fred? I don't know. Witness protection? I don't know. Boy, I'm angry. And I repented, prayed, and I got up. And I walked back to that man. And I guess he thought I was coming. And I said, sir, he said, before you say anything, I want to apologize for saying that. He said, I was wrong. I could hear the devil say, yeah, tell him you're wrong. See, he's trying to stir it up. He said, I'm just mad because my wife told me to tithe and I didn't want to. Would you forgive me? I said, sure. He said, now, what do you want? Well, nothing now. See, repentance destroys everything. It's over. Priceless gift of time. I said, you know, sir, I don't doubt some people have done that, but you never judge every book by its cover. You open up the book and you read it, you find out what it's there for. You see, how many of you have ever seen priceless art? Has anybody ever been to the Louvre in Paris? The Mona Lisa, you know, Mona Lisa, you know. How many of you seen, anybody been to the Vatican, seen the La Pietà of Michelangelo, the Sistine Chapel? Now that's art. But you know, when you look at a beautiful piece of artwork, whether it's a painting, furniture, I don't know, whatever. How much canvas did that painter go through before he made it perfect? How much wood was destroyed before that cabinet became perfect? How many times it went over? I don't think Raphael, when he did the tapestries, and the Sistine Chapel, I know that Michelangelo ripped it up 2 or 3 times so it would become perfect. Think about that. So we just see the perfection. We never see the time it took to get to perfection. I told at the Cathy the other day, how many boyfriends you went through before you found perfection? Hey, listen, man. Come on, men, help me out here. Y'all a bunch of... I said, I seen some of them boys. That was some worthless boys. And she laughed like you did. But I realize when I see something at its best, it wasn't a stroke. It wasn't a stroke of genius. It may have genius in it, but it took time. And that's what's wrong with the world today. We want everything too fast. That's why some things that have been made in the 1400s is still like it was. Like it is, it wasn't 14, it is today, because someone took time to do it right. Yeah. Do it because it's right, and then do right. I heard Brother Copeland say that was a blessing. Write this down. Opportunities of time lead to solemn issues of eternity. Opportunities of time lead to solemn issues of eternity. I begin to realize something, that what I am doing today, it's preparing me, Brother Moore, for what I'm going to do when I get to heaven. You see, I kind of like to know in advance. And sometimes God gives me inklings, you know, Brother Rations, little pieces here and there. What am I going to do when I get to heaven? I'm not just looking at gold streets, mansions, diamond, beryl, jasper, onyx, ruby. That's wonderful. Don't miss anything. I like all this pretty. What is my destiny? See, Jesus knew what he was doing on the earth, and he knew what he was doing when he was ascending into heaven. He was going to do something. What was he going to do? Pour out his blood on the holies of holies and declare man righteous. You notice that? He didn't stop preaching when he went back to heaven. I seen him preach. I heard him preach the gospel in heaven. People say, I don't believe that. I don't care. I'm not trying to convince you of it. But I realize that time doesn't wait for anybody. And that is priceless. I looked at my 4-year-old granddaughter the other day. She's such a blessing. I call her M&M. Her name is Meredith Margot. She's a blessing of God. She comes to my house. She calls me grandfather. Grandfather. And you know, I'm not good with discipline. I'm not when it comes to my daughter, my granddaughter. I mean, I just don't really care. My daughter's 40 years old, right, and I've never told her no once. Now, her mother's told her no many times. And I blame Kathy. And I said, Jody, when Jody was, you know, I said, I'd give it to you, Jody, but your mama just don't want you to have it. Now, I was wrong. I didn't really care, Keith. It's hard for me. Well, it's the same thing with the grandbaby. So she walks up there. She calls Kathy Mimi. She said, Mimi, I want some chocolate. She loves chocolate. She said, chocolate's delicious. Now, she likes to eat about 5 o'clock, but they eat supper 5:30, something like that. So it's about 10 to 5. And Kathy goes, oh, no, Mimi said, you can't have any chocolate. And she just, so she goes to her mama, Mama, I want some chocolate. No, you can't eat chocolate till you eat your dinner. She's done figured it. She goes, this ain't working. But I know where it can work. Grandfather. Grandfather, I come walking in and, hey, she says, I want some chocolate. I said, how much you want? Kathy goes, Jesse, she's got to eat supper. And Jody, my daughter, so mother, she got to eat supper. I said, she'll eat supper. She's just not going to eat it at 5:30. But she ain't going to eat chocolate right now. So I said, come with grandfather. Because, you know, Meredith, I was never grand until you was born. And anybody that make me grand, get some M&M's. So Kathy got mad. Jody got mad. Me and Meredith, we were glad. She ate some chocolate and enjoyed herself. Now, she wasn't hungry at 5:30. I tell you what, you didn't run this up. You didn't, you know, this kind of stuff. No, I was redeeming the time. See, I'm going to remember that all the days of my life. She's going to say that herself. If Jesus tarries, I go by the way of grace. You know what my grandfather used to do? I planted that in her. And sure enough, about 6:30, 6:45, I want some macaroni and cheese. I looked at Kathy and went, no, she didn't eat at 5:30. So she ate at about 7 o'clock. But she ate supper. What's the problem? What's the problem? Ain't no problem. It's just a waste of energy. Why? Because every day with her is priceless to me. She says, I want to play piano like grandfather. I said, I can show you how to do that. Well, we start playing. She gets on that. She starts singing. She starts playing. Now, she hit wrong notes. Well, she's not going to hit them all her life. She said, take my hand and show me how. And then she'll stop and get off the piano and try to touch the pedals down there. She sees my foot on that pedal. I said, this is sustaining. She doesn't know what that means. Watch. Ah. And she's going to learn. Why? Because I'm going to take time to show her. Opportunities of time lead to solemn issues of eternity. There's some things that I'm doing here that is preparing me for what I'm going to do when I get there. That I couldn't learn it in heaven. I have to learn it here so I can implement it there. Think about that for a minute. The priceless of time. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. I don't like evil. I'll say one more thing and I'll close with this session here and we'll have Brother Savelle come. See these boots? Get up here. God can use anything to get someone touched by his power. There's a gas station in New Orleans, Louisiana. And I used to have a Hummer. I love that Hummer. But Kathy sold it when I was out of town. Because I couldn't park it downtown because I couldn't get in the parking garage because it's too high. I love that Hummer. And she bought, she said, you can't park it down. So she got something nice. That's fine. So, but I had that Hummer then, and it was fire engine red. Oh, that thing was gorgeous. It was a specially designed Hummer. It even hummed. It was just I love that car. I love that vehicle. The government tried to steal it during Katrina. They were trying to, and I had to stop them. I'm not talking about the federal government because they needed something for high water. I said, I'll go in the water. Leave my Hummer alone. So I helped them. Praise God. Watch this. This was several years ago. I go and I stop and I fill up the tank. You know, and I came in and it was two Muslim men behind the register. It's kind of like a little convenience. They have like 7-Elevens here, you know, things like that. Little convenience store, you know, gas pumps outside. So watch this now. I want you, let me get up here so you can see these boots. Now watch this. So I come walking, I'm standing in line. There's three or four people paying for the gas. Some people buying a few little things. So I'm standing like that. And finally comes to me. I said, I'm on pump 4 and my bill was such and such. And he says, okay. And he looks now. He goes, ooh, that's some pretty boots. I like them boots. I said, you like those boots? I said, the Lord give me them boots. He said, who give me those boots? I said, the Lord give me those boots. Ooh, the Lord give you those boots? Yes. I said, the Lord, Jesus Christ give you those boots? I said, yes, the Lord give me those boots. He really give you those boots? I said, yes, he did. I said, does Allah give you boots? Oh, no, Allah don't give me no boots. I said, you mean to tell me Allah don't give you no boots? She's going to get some boots, I guess. Them stories just get people, don't they? Praise God. Now listen to this. Watch this. She said, he says, I said, Allah don't give you no boots. Oh, no, Allah don't give you no boots. I said, he said, the Lord give you those boots? I said, oh, yeah, Jesus Christ give me those boots. Pretty boots, huh? Oh, yeah. I said, are you going to heaven? Oh, I don't know if Allah permits. I said, I'm going to heaven. How do you know you're going to heaven? I said, Jesus Christ said it. Yeah, but how you know you're going to do it? I said, the boots. The boots. You like your boots? Oh, yeah. I said, you mean Allah never given? Oh, no, Allah don't give him no boots. I said, well, I tell you what, Jesus Christ give me boots. That's good. It's good to be a Christian, huh? Yes. I said, yes, you get boots. Paid the gas, left. Drove to my office, parked the Hummer, walked up to my director of engineering. I said, give me one of the ministry vans. Make sure they ain't got no gas in it. Oh, no. They all called me boss. Boss, you don't have to fill up the van. I said, no, give me one that's empty. So I went home and I put on another pair of boots. Redeeming the time. I had no way I'm going to get to this guy. I said, would you like to meet Jesus Christ, the Lord of your life? He like boots. I'm going to show him boots. So I put on a pair of boots and I drive over there and I fill that vehicle. It was one of the ministry vans. I come and he goes, ooh, ooh, look at the boots. Ooh, where'd you get those boots? I said, Jesus give me the boots. Jesus give you those boots too. He said, I said, yes. I said, Allah don't give you no boots. Oh, no, Allah don't give me no boots. I said, Jesus, give me the boots. You like them boots? Oh, I love the boots. It's the blues. Now, get past the human. Listen to what I'm trying to do here. His function, his mind's on these boots. I'm trying to get him to figure out who give me them boots. I'll use whatever I can to get to this man's soul. And it happens to be a pair of boots. He said, those are beautiful boots. I said, the Lord been good to me. Give me boots. I said, you sure Allah don't get? Oh, no, Allah don't give me no boots. I said, well, have a nice day. Drove back to the office. I said, give me another vehicle. I said, you got another? Well, we got the pickup truck. Give me that. Is it full? It's almost empty. Give it to me. I went home, put on another pair of boots. I have 14 pair of boots. At that time, probably more now. I drove back over there. I filled that thing up. You know, this ministry vehicle come. He go, oh, Jesus. I said, oh, Jesus. Now, you may call it foolishness, but the foolishness of preaching confounds the wise. You may think it's stupid, but this is this man's time, and it's priceless.
He goes, Jesus, give me the boots. I said, yes, Jesus, give me the boots. This other Muslim guy hadn't said a word. He go, Jesus, give you 3 pair of boots? I said, yes. I said, Allah, he said, Allah, give me a sandal. He ain't give me nothing. Allah, give me nothing. I said, you don't even know if you're going to heaven. I don't know. I don't. I said, well, don't get mad. But I was a boots like you got. I said, Jesus, give me those boots. Can I pray for God to help you? Yes. Yes. And I just prayed a simple prayer, Lord, let this day be the day that this man knows how to get to heaven. That he accepts the Lord God Almighty. See, I don't want to get too close on because I don't want to freak him out. Now, Lord, he's looking at these boots. And he likes boots. So bless him with a pair of boots. And let him know that Jesus Christ gave him them boots. Amen. There was a person behind me said, Amen. Say, how you doing, Brother Jesse? I watch you on television all the time. I said, well, thank you, sweetheart. God bless you. I said, you have a great day today. He goes, a few good. A few good. I said, yes, today's your day. All over a pair of boots. 2 pair of boots. 3 pair of boots. I went back to the ministry. I think we got about, what, Kathy, 25 vehicles that belong to the ministry. We got every kind of vehicle you can think of, you know. You know, you need trucks, you need, you know, all that kind of stuff. I said, has any of them got any, no, get, I got 3 of them. I got 11 more vehicles to go. I can go through 11 more pairs of boots. Now, I didn't do that, but you know what? I walked back in that place 2 weeks later, and I made sure I had a different pair of boots on. And when I walked in there, he says, I watch you on television. Look at my boots. I said, who give you those boots? He said, Jesus Christ give you those boots. You see, you may call me foolish, but you win a man to Jesus over a pair of boots. Pricelessness of time. Redeeming the time for the days of evil. I never said anything more about Allah or Muhammad or anybody. But I put in that man's mind what Brother Copeland's been preaching for 2 years called the blessing. But I had to show him something. And if that's what it takes, I'll show it to him. Did you enjoy it? Yeah. Simple. But if you think it's so simple, go out this afternoon and try it. And you'll find, ooh, wait a minute. It isn't as easy as you think it is. But if you prepare yourself to redeem the time, it'll become a solemn issue of eternity for you. And God will honor you. Now, tomorrow in my next session, I'm going to deal with the wasting of time. I'll tell you this, the waste of time is a criminal thing. It will always involve irreparable loss. I'm going to deal with that tomorrow. The waste of time is a criminal thing. It will always involve irreparable loss. I will not lose a day or a second, a minute or an hour, because that's all it takes to get somebody born again, to get somebody healed, to get somebody saved, to get somebody blessed, whatever that takes. I'm willing to pay that price. Wow. And everyone in here should do the same. That's right. Amen. Because you know, you may not have any money, but you can give some time. Yes, like one man said, I wish I could give to the church. He said, but I don't have a job. I said, well, we got work to do. Give me some of your time. Sow some time. Sow it as a seed. And believe God for a miracle in your life. because the days are evil. But we can fix them because we have the ability to fix them. So the minute you think something may sound foolish, ignorant, or just intellectual, find out what someone is really saying. And make your plan A, B, C, D, E, F, whatever. Because you see, God is always ready and he's always on time. Now, I say this in close. He didn't say he redeemed the time. He said for us to redeem the time. So I tell you this. I do my job and God does his job. And together we get something done. Spiritually, physically, financially, in every area of our lives. So, when you go home this week, you'll be completely surging, overflowing with the Word of God. Don't eat it all yourself. Prepare meals for people to eat. Everything you learn from any speaker, prepare a meal for someone out there. Let me tell you about this. Let me tell you what God spoke to me this week. That's why it's good to get, we're not just trying to get you to buy books or taste. That's why it's good to get those things. Because now you're passing it on. You're redeeming it. And you get a chance. And you will get a chance. But you'll be prepared for it. Prepared completely for it. So you'll know what to do, when to do, where to do it, and how to do it. Stand to your feet and give Jesus a hand clap. Come on. Come on, stand to your feet. Give him a big God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. What a blessing.